small and so useless. Will you save me from falling? See the rain covering me, and my tears are like ocean. Will you save me from falling? See the smile upon your face, and I know there is true now. You will save me from falling.
Night Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Welcome. So, Karen, how are you to this week?
Well, you know, I'm okay. I'm better than I sound. I have a little bit of a cold, and
she's
I can't hear
crap. She's got
this
sexy radio voice.
I do. I have my sexy radio voice on, and I'm at that stage where I don't feel bad necessarily, but I can't hear anything. And mm-hmm. So I feel like have you ever seen that Will Ferrell Saturday Night Live sketch? I have voice modulation disorder. That's how I feel tonight, is that I have no idea how loud I'm talking. So I keep asking, was that loud? And everybody's like, no, you're okay. But I feel like I'm shouting.
Nope, you sound perfectly fine. So tonight we have a really good show lined up for everybody. Tonight
really
for the
shoe.
Really
Sorry.
Big shoe. Really big shoe. So tonight for the first time we will be joined by Beth Fontaine. Now, if you don't know who Beth Fontaine is, she's the owner and operator of Para Adventures, and she plans on taking over the entire world as pertaining to paranormal tourism and sightseeing. So she's going to be joining us at 8:15 after our first break, and we're going to be talking to her for the rest of the show.
It's only 8:15 in the flyover states, not elsewhere.
That's right, I forgot. In the beautiful in the great state of Illinois, in the beautiful city of Chicago, it is 8:15 p.m. So, but Karen, before we get to our first break, there is something really interesting that you would like to talk about.
You know, when you set me up like that, we're screwed. Well, so the People's Court recently
First off, I can't believe that's still actually on.
Yeah, I've been flat on my back with the flu on Monday and Tuesday. I was. And so Tuesday, I was actually feeling well enough to have the TV on because it helps me sleep. And so it was on, and People's Court came on. And the first court case was actually a haunted house court case.
Okay.
And it was this couple that came onto the people's court because they had rented a house. And after a week, they decided the house was so haunted that they broke their lease.
Wait a minute. Isn't Wapner dead?
Yeah, it's away? Judge Marilyn Million or something like that. I think that's her name. Some kind of redheaded, she's, you know, some lady judge. Okay. So anyway, the owner of the house was countersuing because he felt that because they had gone to the press with this, first of all, they'd broken their lease, so he felt he didn't owe them any money. Right. And then because they'd gone to the press, he also felt that they had potentially damaged his future ability to rent the house out and therefore possibly caused potential damage, financial damage. So he was countersuing for $15,000. So I found that very interesting because now here's something paranormal that's made it into the mainstream. And the ultimately what the judge decided was two things. First of all, on the original case, she said, you know, you can't prove it's haunted. I believe you. I believe what you say happened. But there's no law for this. I can't prove that it's haunted. You aren't entitled to your deposit back because you broke the lease. And then to add insult to injury to this couple that had moved out, she also severed the counterclaim and just said in the future, she dismissed it without prejudice, which in the world of legalese means that they can come back and file again. Okay. And so the landlord now also can come back and file if he's unable to rent this place. So I thought that was interesting. And I thought, you know, are we going to start to see a trend of things like this? Because it's so mainstream now that it's what people see on TV. And what this couple was giving as evidence was really a bunch of crap you see on TV.
Yeah. You know what I find really interesting about that is don't most states have what do they call that? A disclosure clause about
for
stigmatized
sales.
Property for sales?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So for sales in some states, you do have to disclose a stigmatized property. However, most states don't have that. And hauntings are only – there's only like two states, I think, when I was researching that haunted real estate article I did. Remember?
Yeah.
Which month of the magazine was that in, Cheryl?
I have no clue. No, okay. I think it might have been March, April, but I'll go look it up and get back to you.
Yeah, it was a couple months ago. Anyway, so when I was researching that haunted real estate article I forgot what I was going to say. I'm so old. Anyway, when I was researching that – essentially, ghosts almost never count as a disclosure. However, if you feel that there's something when you're selling a house that should be disclosed, I think you should. We have a house down the hill from us, and I drive by it every day, and it's a rental house, and I see people move out of that house every 3 to 6 months. There's new people moving in and out, and it makes you – so if I'm a landlord –
We have that too.
You know, the question is, do you disclose that as a landlord?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what's funny?
March, April issue. I was right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anytime.
But so that's what I wonder about is, you know, what are the ethics of that? And I think now I'm going to get all spiritual woo-woo on you for a second, so I'm sorry about that. I don't think that legally you don't legally have to disclose that. In the state of Washington, you do not legally have to disclose, and I don't think you have to in Illinois either. However, I think from a karmic standpoint, well, it's like selling a haunted object. I had a friend who has this table, and I have been around this table. It belonged to a relative of hers who was a very evil person. This table is freaking frighteningly haunted. I mean, and I told her, you have to get rid of this table. She said, well, I could just leave it by the side of the road. And I said, no. I mean, because from a karmic standpoint, do you want to do that? If you sell it, like what if Kevin Manis had taken the Dybbuk box and just put it on eBay without saying anything about it?
Right.
If you know, the Dybbuk box does what it says it does, you know, what everybody claims it does, where's your moral?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. And, you know, especially right now with, you know, let's face it, this is so incredibly mainstream. Everything that, you know, pertains to ghosts and hauntings. It's so mainstream right now that it's almost as if you would think that people would, that there would be people that's like, man, I would love to live in a haunted house.
I do think so. Because there are websites that I'm starting to find when I was researching that article that are springing up where people are advertising that as a feature. However, mm-hmm. that you don't foist it off on somebody who's unsuspecting. I think that that is bad karma. And I just think it's bad. I mean, it's not treating people the way you'd want to be treated.
Yeah, I would definitely agree because I mean, even though that this stuff is so mainstream right now, you're going to still have people that are, they're still afraid of this kind of thing. I mean, obviously people are still afraid, otherwise they wouldn't give, you know, nerds like us a call and say, hey, I got some weird going on in my house. Can you take a look at it? But, yeah, you know, you were talking about the house by you that seems like people move in and out of all the time. There is when I go on runs, there's a house right down the street from us that I see that all the time. And now this house just looks like it should be haunted.
Yeah, this one too. Uh-huh.
You know, and it's like most of the houses in my neighborhood, like our house was built in 1923 and most of the houses around here are 90 to 100 years old. So it's really not too much of a stretch of the imagination that there might be something attached to it. But it's like it seems like every few months or every 6 months at the most, there's somebody new in the house. And I would just love to just walk up to it one day and say, how you doing? I'm a psychical researcher.
Why
is your house haunted?
Yeah, well, I know, me too.
Yeah, and it's like, they're either going to pull a gun on me and tell me to get the hell out of here, or they're going to be like, come on in, you know? Who knows?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's all sorts of reasons why there can be high turnover in a house. It could be expensive to heat. It could have rodents. It could have mildew. It could be a pit. Who knows? And I don't know with the house down the hill. But at the same time, you know, it sort of makes you wonder. And then the other question that I thought that this people's court case brought up that was interesting is then this couple who only lived in the house for a week went to the press. Okay. And they really didn't have anything that I would say is definitive evidence of a haunting. Yet this became this huge story in the press locally.
Right.
And how ethical is that? If you rent a haunted house, do you go to the press? Because you could potentially damage someone's income.
Right. And, you know, and it's like I'm reminded of that case in England. I think it was back in the 80s where a couple had rented a house. It was this – I think it was a cottage in Somerset or maybe Dorset, England. And they claimed to have all this, you know – activity that was going on in their home, but the former people were like, no, this never happened. And it was actually featured on the show with Robert Stack. What was that called? Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah,
and it was actually featured on that, and there was like a whole big court case in England, and the court came back with like, the people who are currently living there are nuts, and they moved out and they lost everything because of it.
Right. Well, so, you know, and the other thing is that you don't know if the house is haunted. You don't know if it's something that you brought in with you. You don't know if it's something you found at a garage sale. So to go to the press and say, hey, this house is haunted, I just makes me wonder.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to say that something like that, which is potentially a life-changing situation to somebody, then it's like you better have like some really super definitive, objective proof that, yeah, you have this, your house is infested with demons or whatever. You better have, you better bring your A game with something like that. Otherwise, people are just going to think you're a crazy person.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Hey, I just realized what time it was. We need to go to break.
Right.
And when we come back, we will be talking to our guest. So,
Beth Fontaine.
Thank you, Beth Fontaine. So stick around. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
You're listening to the Dust and Radio Network. Opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. And tonight joining us is Beth Fontaine of Para Adventures. A couple weeks ago, we had Kimberly Brulette and Chris Matheny on. And she comes highly recommended. And Para Adventures is... it's more than just your normal touristy kind of thing. But we're going to let Beth tell you about that. So, Beth Fontaine, welcome to the underground.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm picturing Para Adventures like kind of like the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland.
It kind of can be that way.
See?
Yeah. Try to be so exciting.
So there's guns and Nazis and bullwhips.
Rolling boulders and short round. And
I mean, you never know what kind of building we're going to go to, but I try to, you know, try to sway people from bringing weapons on the trip, so.
Oh, okay.
I'll keep Karen's out because Karen cares.
Maybe I can make a trip just for you with weapons. But
okay. You know, that makes it much more adventurous if everybody's carrying something. And then what you do is you say little things to try and piss them off, get them mad at you. Did you hear what he just said about you?
I think that could be some liability issues, though, so I'll have to check into that.
Yeah, you can't exactly put a bullet between a spirit's eyes, so...
Okay, so if it's not the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland, what is
it? Is basically a company. I'm finding it kind of turned out to be a little different than I thought. But I take people to spend the night in haunted places, and I provide all the food, the drinks, that kind of thing. And just it seems like it's a lot of people who have never done this kind of thing before, who don't know much about paranormal. Some people don't even know what an EVP is or anything like that. So it's kind of like a fun and informational trip at the same time.
You're like Lady Zach.
Yeah.
You get locked down.
I don't yell as much as he does.
And I bet that your shirts fit. I bet they're not two or three sizes too small.
And you didn't look like you got scared from behind with your hair pushed forward. But
this is true.
You know, before we really get into what Para Adventures is and, you know, the whole paranormal tourism right now, because let's face it, this stuff is huge right now. Beth, there is one question that I like to ask any investigator or any researcher that we have on our show.
Oh, God, here we go again.
Okay. What is it that interests you, that sparked your interest in this field? And like I tell everybody, if you tell us that your D&D game let out on a Wednesday night and you decided to catch a cool new television show on the Sci-Fi Channel, Karen, I, and a lot of our listeners reserve the right to give you hell. So what brought you into the field?
I told you that it didn't have anything to do with that, but I actually was going to say that if you didn't say it, I was going to have to.
You have a mad crush on Jason Hawes, and that's really what it is.
It totally is. Oh, my God.
It's the bald head.
Oh, yeah. My God. No. No, I have had an interest in it because I honestly have had experiences all my life. Ever since I was little, it's weird. It's like I always used to joke around and say that I think things were attracted to me. So I've seen things, you know, gone through a lot of different things in my life. And then it's kind of like I hit a point when I got older. It's like, what do I want to be when I grow up kind of thing?
I'm still asking that question.
Yeah. I did until this came along. And it's been a really fun ride so far.
What a great way to combine something that's a passion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Your work life. And to do it in a way that you're giving people something of value. You're not just, you know, giving them a ghost hunting 101 certificate and charging $400 for it.
That is hilarious when people do that.
Any of my trips would ever be that expensive unless it was like a pretty, pretty fantastic trip.
Well, my food would be worth $400, but you know, that's just me.
So Para Adventures, you know, comes along. What was it exactly that, you know, was like, hey, you know, I think I'm going to do this. I mean, because let's face it, like here in Chicago, for example, I can stand on any street corner on Michigan Avenue or State Street and watch three or four different tourism buses go by. And that's also including the historical. We have a tour that primarily focuses on Al Capone. Of course, he's the patron saint of Chicago. But what makes para-adventures different from, say, your normal everyday ghost tourism thingy?
And do you have a theme song? Dun, 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 dun,
dun. No, but you guys can create one for me if you want. Maybe that would, help me get Karen, some more people.
I'd be happy to sing it for you.
Karen's a musically talented one.
Yeah, awesome. I'd be happy to sing it for you. I'm sure it would be. My son plays the saxophone, and he's really good at the riff from Careless Whisper.
Oh, my God. I used to get a guy so many dates back in the 80s, it wasn't even funny. But, How did you get started with the idea for para-adventures, and how was it different from, going to some city and hopping on a bus and being told a bunch of BS stories?
It's kind of crazy how it all came about. I was really big into real estate. So you kind of know how the market has gone.
Yeah.
And had some things happen and had some big changes in my life. And like I said, it kind of hit that point in my life where I was like, okay, I can't do that so much anymore, so what's next? And it took me about probably 2 years to realize that this is what it was. And it was really like a light bulb going off when it hit me. It was almost like, duh.
Yeah.
I've done this for my friends. Like, me and my friends had gone on these trips to these places to spend the night ourselves. And I'm like, well, why don't I do this for other people?
Yeah.
So, that's kind of where it came about. And I think it's different because, for one, we go and I try to make it to where we actually spend the night in these places. So we actually, if we do a two-night trip, we actually get to sleep a night in the haunted location. And then we do a tour when we get there. We do the history, everything else. I do have some equipment, but I don't have all kinds of crazy high-tech gadgets or anything like that because I never saw anything in my life with the high-tech gadgets. It's not saying I won't do it eventually, but right now I don't have that yet.
Yeah, I mean, with the high-tech gadgets, I would love to, to be able to afford a, a thermal imager. I would love to be able to afford that,
yeah.
But, I got a two-year-old, and he needs diapers and food and stuff like that. So,
nah,
that's just going to have
to wait. Kids are strong. Says so the child advocate.
Well, hey, I work with kids too.
Oh, whoops! I hope nobody, knows me professionally is listening now.
So let's talk about some of the places that you've been. Your first event that you've put on, where was that? And how did that go? Did that go off without a hitch, or did you have a bunch of dude run type things going on?
Well, my first one was at the Saddamsville Rectory in Ohio, and they were amazing hosts. So it went pretty smoothly. It was that one was just an overnight trip. I was kind of freaking out because it was my first trip with some people that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really good friend of mine who was actually helping me. And it pretty much did. It went without a hitch. It was an old rectory. It's got a lot of activity. They have a ton of history. There's an old church next door to it. And okay. They did the whole tour for us. They walked us through the whole place. They had snacks there already. And then mm-hmm. I just provided the food and drinks, and it was awesome.
So let's talk about the history as well as the activity. What exactly is the history of this place? And as it pertains to what is, haunting it, I always got to put it in quotes because I have never been there, so.
Yeah, but we can't see you doing the air quotes. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm doing air quotes just so everybody knows. But so what is the history behind that, and how does it pertain to the kind of activity that they have going on there?
The rectory's got a lot of things that they're not allowed to disclose because of the whole Catholic Church and everything like that. So there are a lot of things that are kind of unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that I know that we are allowed to talk about is that there were people who actually lived in the rectory after it was no longer a rectory, and they owned dogs, and they believed that dogs were actually being fought in the house and on the property.
Okay.
So there has been a lot of reports of people getting scratched and dogs growling or barking and things like that on the EVPs. We didn't catch anything like that. The only small things that we had was that one of our participants had someone touch their face. There's a suitcase that they have upstairs, and they tried to make everything kind of like time period, you know, time to the period of when it was.
Right.
The suitcase actually moved while we were there.
Okay.
And we, of course, we didn't have video or anything, so we didn't have it on video, but it was kind of like we were all accounted for at the time. And for people who had never seen this kind of stuff, they're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Yeah, but then they're getting exactly what they paid for then. I mean, sure, you don't have it on video, and yeah, they're paying you because you're providing a service. At the same time, though, what exactly do you say to people that are like, well, you know, yeah, you're being paid for this, and you're providing a service, and they're being really snarky and cocky about it. Who's to say that you're not faking this kind of thing?
I'm sure I'll probably have people like that, but fortunately, I haven't really had a lot of that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it just kind of goes to, you're going to have skeptics no matter Sure. where you go. I mean, you're going to, and it's good to have skeptics sometimes because they can be the voice of reason. Sometimes Mm-hmm. if people are new to this stuff and on a trip and they're like, oh my God, did you hear that? And then they can be like, oh yeah, it's paint falling off the wall.
Yeah.
Or plaster, you know? So I think that I'll just have to kind of deal with that as it comes. I haven't had to experience that yet.
Right. I'm sorry, Kieran, did you have something to say?
Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, I was adjusting my headset because my ears were popping.
Oh.
I was in mute. I was muted.
So you're not screaming at them yet?
No, I'm sorry. I was muted and adjusting my headset. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I thought I heard you clear your throat like you were about to say something. So it's like, okay, you got people that are in this place. I mean, now do you do like the whole lockdown and lights off and, you know, everybody just sort of spread out, or, you know, kind of just, you know, guide us through how it is that it's that the evening, or, you know, in some cases, the two evenings, how does this start?
Well, it's not very dramatic. I'm definitely not like, okay, tonight we're going to do this and this is going to happen. You know, it's nothing right. like that. It's more about a hospitality experience. Mm-hmm. And then, adding the paranormal to it. Typically, I'll give you a great example. Like, we went to the old South Pittsburgh Hospital.
Okay.
Awesome location. My God, that place has been one of my favorites so far.
Very well-known haunted location.
Oh, gosh. I mean, and it's if you've never been there, you have to go because it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically, as soon as I get there, I set up and wait for my guests to arrive. Once my guests arrive, I take them through the whole place, and usually the hosts of the place will take us through the tour, and they'll say, you know, this is what happened in this place, this is the experience that people have felt in different areas of the location, and then after the host is done with us, then they go do their own thing, and I basically will split us up into two groups, because I only like to take about 10 people on a trip. I usually deal with like celebrities or things like that. I don't want to have 100 people on a trip. I want it to be very small, very intimate. That way, if something does happen, it's more likely that it was something that could have really happened.
Well, that's right. That's the way it should be anyways. I mean, you see a lot on these television shows or I get a chance to talk to a lot of different groups, and they bring 20 people on an investigation in, say, a 3-bedroom house. And you're going to have way too much stuff. I mean, you're going to have people talking, you're going to have people whispering, you're going to have people moving stuff, and it's like, it turns into a big mess. And I'm really glad to see right now that people are starting to come to the realization that it's like, you really don't need more than 2 or 3 people on an investigation.
Right, right. Because, I mean, you could get so much, basically, like, messed up evidence. It may not even be true what
yeah.
you're hearing. So, it's I started that very early on. I was like, I'm never going to have very many people unless it is something like the Mansfield Reformatory or, you know, something that's huge to where you can have 20 people. But
yeah.
even then, that would be a stretch. Like, I just don't like to take a ton of people.
Yeah. So let's talk about the South Pittsburgh Hospital. Now, this is definitely one of the most famous haunted locations. It's been featured, you know, on a few television shows, and you go there. What are you going to expect at this hospital?
I honestly had no idea what to expect. I mean, it's creepy just driving up because it's an old hospital. So you see this old hospital, and it's like in the middle of this little kind of kind of a little, I mean, there's houses around it and stuff, but it seems kind of out of place for where it's at.
Right.
And the windows are all boarded up, and, you know, you can tell it hasn't been used for a while.
Mm-hmm.
When you park there, you have to actually go to the emergency room exit. You go in through the doors, and then when you get in there, even during the day, it's like pitch black.
Right.
So, nice. It is awful. They've got surveillance cameras set up, so they actually record your investigation for you.
Okay.
So that's pretty neat. And it's as soon as we got there, I mean, literally, as soon as we got there, they were taking us through the tour, and he was telling us things, and I saw someone at the end of the hall, like, peeking around the corner at me. And mm-hmm. so we have, you know how you lean out, and somebody will lean in, and you lean in, and then they lean out? Like, that's
oh, yeah.
It was like someone was playing hide-and-seek with me, and the guide who was leading us, he saw the look on my face, and he was like, oh, is there somebody playing peekaboo down there at the end of the hall with you? And mm-hmm. I just got him, and the two other people that were with me at the time were like, oh my God, we saw him too.
See that, you know that. Oh, sorry, Beth, I interrupted you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's very rare that when you first walk into a place that something happens, especially like that. I mean, it was like, holy crap.
Hey, how awesome is it that you get to participate in giving people that experience?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Especially first-timers. I mean, if they've never seen anything like this, and I can turn a skeptic into a believer, that's like the best feeling in the world.
Right.
Yeah. So, I've done some just sort of little ghost tours, and it's really funny to see the skeptics come through, because you can spot them a mile away, and they... you know, have their arms crossed across their chest, and they've got that frown on their face, their body language. And then, you know, it's pretty awesome when, like, something comes flying at the air at them or something, and suddenly those arms go uncrossed and the eyes get wide.
Oh, the look of fear on their face, and it's like, there is no possible way that I can explain how this just happened. And it's like, you know, with me, Beth, I do primarily private home investigations, and I used to belong to a much larger group, and there was a couple of times where we brought people along that were either relatives or friends or whatever of members, and it's like they come in and they're like, there's absolutely no such thing as ghosts, and then when we're done with that investigation, they take you to the side and they're like, holy shit, I can't even begin to believe what I just experienced in those homes. And how do those people live with that really?
Because you get used to it after a while.
Exactly.
As long as it's not anything bad.
Don't you miss being scared?
Well, I can't say I never get scared. I mean, I don't like to go to places that are where people will say it's evil or something like that. And especially, I'm not gonna take somebody who's never done this to a place where it's like, oh, there's demons and it's evil.
Like Bobby Mackey's.
Like, yeah, I don't know that I would do first timers for Bobby Mackey's, but I would probably do, like, you know, if there were experienced people who had done this stuff before and they wanted to do it, then I probably would be more willing to do that, but not with someone who's never done it before.
Yeah. Well, you know, thanks to several television shows that will go unnamed on this show, I have actually been banned from Bobby Mackey's by the missus. No, seriously, my wife and Karen and Cheryl and Chad and everybody that's involved with the show will back you up. My wife has actually threatened to leave me if I ever step foot into Bobby Mackey's. And that has to do with television. I mean, you know, you're let's face it, you're kind of like in an entertainment part of this field right now. What are your thoughts on the television shows? And do you think that it's actually ruined? Has it added or has it ruined the credibility of the field?
Oh, gosh. I honestly don't watch them. I mean, I used to watch Ghost Hunters when it very first came out just to see the locations.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it kind of spurred my ideas along a little bit as far as the locations, because, I mean, let's face it, there's so many places, and just in the U.S. alone, it's like, I'm never going to find out about all of these on my own.
Right.
So I watch them to find out, you know, that type of thing, like where they go, like when I used to watch them, but now it's like, I don't even watch them. So I don't even know what people are talking about or who people are in the field, I guess.
Yeah.
I do think that a lot of times it can definitely discredit what you're doing, because they make the show so dramatic, and people will come into even my trips expecting that sometimes. And I'm like, it's not, you're not going to have anything that crazy happen, especially in the span of a half an hour.
No, and it's right. So much more subtle. It's, this is the hardest thing to explain to people until they've experienced it. The paranormal can be incredibly subtle.
And incredibly boring at times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's times when it's like we just sat around, like at the old South Pittsburgh Hospital, we were sitting in the hallway doing an EVP session, and then we kind of just started talking about other stuff. And, you know, it's like, it's not going to be all fun and excitement. It's not, yeah. I mean, and it, I guess that's kind of my purpose for doing this too, to show you that it's not going to be like, we're going to go on a lockdown and, you know, stuff's going to start flying at you and hit you. I mean, you're not going to get thrown across the room. I mean, most likely, I can't say that that's ever going to happen.
Well, Rick has actually been thrown across a room. I have not, so.
I wasn't exactly thrown across the room. It was my very first investigation. I was 17 years old, and I got just my ass handed to me by something big, black, and ugly. And it just pushed me right on my butt. And I've also been punched in the head by something because I, you know, called the spirit a pedophile because that's what he was in life. So, you know, in a way, I kind of guess I deserved what I had coming. But, you know, how do you – okay, you're on investigation. You're on one of your events, and you have somebody come to you, and they're like, I just got scratched. I mean, have you ever had anybody come to you and say, I will sue you if I get scratched or pushed or punched? Or I mean, do you actually have to carry insurance for this kind of thing?
I actually have I've been looking into liability insurance. I haven't had to yet because it's not on a big enough scale.
Sure.
But I've definitely been looking into it, and everybody has to sign, you know, waivers. Liability waivers.
Yes,
and
good.
And the places where we go have people sign waivers too. And, you know, so it is, it's, I mean, we do take it seriously because we know that you're walking around in a dark place. I mean, you could fall down the stairs. You could, something paranormal could happen, and you could like freak out and blame us for it or whatever the case may be. But I mean, that we're providing a service, and we want it to be fun and enjoyable, and hopefully you learn something. So it's like, we got to cover our behinds too.
Well, yeah. You know what amazes me is from the business end, because what you're running is a business. Mm-hmm. And, people go into things like running tours and things, and I think that they think of all of the really awesome paranormal aspects of that and the entertainment aspects of it. And I think sometimes they forget the business aspects of that, because I know I have some friends who run ghost tours, and I've taken those tours, and they have, you know, big steps in them and all sorts of stuff. And I keep saying, you need to have people sign waivers. So if somebody's looking at going into some kind of a business, whether it's a tour or something similar to what you're doing, what do you recommend for them on the business end of these things?
Oh, God, definitely cover your butt on every aspect that you can. Yeah. I mean, especially nowadays, like I will probably end up having a liability or the limited liability corporation and all of that kind of stuff here in the very near future. And find a good accountant, find a good attorney. I mean, all of that stuff. It's like, you're right, people don't think of that stuff. And I think that's honestly why a lot of these things starting out don't last, is because it's not just a fun hobby. It is a business, and you are putting yourself on the line.
Yep.
Well, what I always think is that we've already, you know, determined that this is not a television show. I've actually been told by people that have been somewhat involved with television shows that there are actually members of the production team that will go into a location and sanitize the area before the personalities even, they'll do it like hours before the personalities even go in. I mean, they take away anything, cover up, you know, holes, take away anything that's going to, you know, accidentally pop a testicle as you're walking through the place in the dark. And it's like,
sorry.
No, I mean, this stuff really happens. And obviously you don't have that, but here's the interesting question that I do have. You do have something happen. Now you got to get your lawyers involved. How in the world do you go to court? And I'm like, well, a ghost possessed my guest, and they went on a killing spree, and I somehow got away. Okay, how do you explain something like that to a court?
This ties
well, hopefully, I'll never have to find that out.
The hour too. You know, Rick and I were just talking about this. Paranormal lawsuits are happening.
Well, you know, it's funny because you guys were talking about the stigmatized homes, and I actually wrote a blog about stigmatized homes a long time ago about how, you know, people don't think about that and stuff like that. Real estate, well, we actually had something about that when I was looking into real estate courses, and I was asking if they had to tell about stigmatized homes and
depends on the state.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was crazy.
So, yeah. I actually wrote an article about real estate, about haunted real estate and all of the legal ramifications. Cause we are living in a time where the paranormal is big and people like to sue.
Oh yeah.
And those lawsuits are inevitable. I know of a few that are going on right now.
Mm. Yeah. You know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, and it is, you know, part of the mainstream. I mean, I remember when I, you know, like I did my very first investigation back in 1991, and I never would have thought in a billion years that there would be tours and there would be billions of books out there and television shows, and all of a sudden people saying, my God, you're the greatest thing since Elvis Presley. I mean, I know that's how Zach Bagans thinks of himself, but, you know, it's like you never think of this kind of thing, that one day this is going to be the biggest thing. And since, you know, the Beatles said they were bigger than Jesus, you never would have thought of that.
No, not in a million years.
But how great for us that it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Because like you said, it's like you're turning something that's a huge passion into something that you love to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's great. I'm actually sitting here a little jealous that you thought of this idea and thinking of how I could steal it. I'm not gonna lie.
So, but
well,
you know
I
what?
Am looking for guides.
That's exactly what I wanted to get to.
Oh well, I'm in the state of Washington.
Well, that may not be a problem in the future.
Oh well, see, there you go. We'll talk, because I think this is such a fabulous idea. And I know so many people who do the smaller tours. And like, I investigate a place here in Washington State really regularly that I take people up on tours because I wrote a book about it. And I just do it for free.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, that's half of it right there is already knowing what you're doing.
Yeah. So I'd never thought of charging for it.
I really
guess
didn't
what
either.
You will now.
No, I wouldn't. I couldn't do that to Wellington. It's because it's a public park. But I mean, you know. Anyway, go on. I have to mute and cough, guys. Continue. Talk amongst yourselves.
Proceed. Okay. So you know, you Beth, you and I, we were talking about this earlier in the week, or maybe it was last week, that you are, like you said, you are looking for guides right now. What are your guidelines for guides? I mean, do you have to be an experienced investigator? Do you have, or can some dude just come off the street, and, you know, like Winston Zeddemore in Ghostbusters, and say, "Hey, I'm looking for a job"?
Well,
what are you looking for?
There's definitely some pretty strict qualifications, because eventually these people are going to be leading trips without me, sure. So they're going to be representing, you know, my baby in essence. So. I mean, it's not so much about if you have any kind of experience in the paranormal field or anything like that. It's more so if you're good with people, because you can learn all the other stuff. I mean, I'm open to that. Of course, I would prefer someone who's had the experience, who's at least had something happen to them, to why they have their interest in the paranormal in the first place. But I'm not going to deny someone if they're excellent with people and they love going to new places and they think that they can truly be passionate about this. I mean, that's my biggest thing. And just for someone to be organized, to be able to keep the trips. Like, I still will always book everything. Mm-hmm. I will always get the food in order and everything like that. I just need someone to take my groups and be a confident leader for these people who have never done this before.
Right. But you see now this is quite a concern. And it's even a concern that I have, because I have actually gone into places where they've had investigators in before, and I hear some real horror stories from clients who are like, well, this person was using swear words in front of my kids. And it turns out that we found out that this person is, well, he's a felon. Or there was a case here in Illinois where a guy got busted because he was like a level 5 kiddie porn sex offender and going on investigations in people's homes. Do you do any kind of background checks on your employees?
I probably will in the future. I have no employees at the moment. But I did think about that. I honestly did, because I don't ever want anyone to feel unsafe. That's, you know, that kind of would put a damper on everything.
I mean, you don't want a serial killer running.
Well, exactly. That gives them the perfect environment. But no, I mean, I
we'll take you on the tour and turn you into a ghost at the same time.
More bang for your buck.
Exactly.
But mostly, like, I'm starting out, and the way that I'm recruiting guides is I will have an event in a specific area. Like right now, I started in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I just moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm kind of getting my bearings in North Carolina, and that's what gave me the idea to bring on some guides. Mm-hmm. I probably will start small, but I'm having an event to actually tell all the details about it and to see how people interact with one another, see how they interact when they're on the investigation, because obviously if somebody freaks out if something does happen, then they're probably not going to make a very good guide when they're with people leading them.
Yeah, so, you don't want like a dude run with one of your guides.
Exactly.
You're just leaving your guests there like, what do we do? There's a demon circling us right now.
Oh, you guys are on your own. Have fun.
Pray.
That's what you pay for. No. So, I mean, there's definitely, I'm going to be extremely strict, and there's different ways to be a guide. Like, it's basically going to start out as a volunteer basis for a few trips, at least until I can see how they are. And then I will probably go on a trip or two with them just to see how they are with leading the group. And then it's like they'll actually be, you know, on their own. And then they can have a junior guide with them who will be their volunteer.
So, you know, I just think it's a really fantastic way to, you know, because let's face it, you have a lot of people out there that are really down on making any kind of money whatsoever when it comes to the paranormal. I personally would never dream of going into somebody's home and be like, well, you know, this is gas and money and, you know, my kid needs diapers right now, so I'm going to charge you like $500. And it's like, it's just not possible. So, you know, what's different from the way you do it than the way, you know, some nerd like myself, you know, does it? Obviously, it's because you offer a service.
I do. And we don't go to people's houses to you know, let's go to somebody's house and investigate. You know, I'm not going to do that.
Let's go
knock on the door, trick or treat.
What's this box with the lights on it? What does it do? I mean, well, just hold it up. If it does something, come and get me.
Oh, see, there's my business. We're going to show up at houses we've heard are haunted and have surprise tours.
That would actually make a really funny television show. You heard your house is haunted. Put the tea on. We're coming in.
Oh, God. Anyway.
But the biggest thing I think will be different is that I know how I am, and I'm very passionate about it, obviously. I'm a very compassionate person. I want people to realize that there are other things out there. I mean, I want people, the business owners who have these businesses, I want them to be able to keep those businesses running, because these businesses are a part of our history. And it's like, if they fall and crumble to the ground, like some of these other great places have, it's like, then it's no longer there for us to explore and to, you know, have any experiences in anymore.
Sure.
True.
Right.
Let's do this. It's just about 7 here on the left coast. And I don't know, like 9 in the flyover state? Is that
9
right?
O'clock in the beautiful city of Chicago,
in
Illinois.
In the beautiful flyover state of somewhere in the middle of the country.
It's 9:57 here.
Oh, see? So we're going to go to break.
Okay.
And you can stick around for another segment, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so stick around. We will be back in just a few minutes. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
In her riveting novel, Breaking the Beyond, writer Kim Casey brings to life a supernatural tale filled with mystery, humor, and intrigue. Kim's suspenseful story focuses on Risa, a compassionate social worker who assists Owen, a young psychiatric patient? Is a 300-year-old entity speaking through Owen, or does he simply possess multiple personalities? Visit awningpublishing.ca to order your copy of Breaking the Beyond. That's A-H-N-E-E-N publishing.ca.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American news and politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio, only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Only 6 o'clock in the morning and my heartbeat is out of control. 10 minutes into boarding feels like I'm about to explode. Time for the ride up, tension started to swirl. I can't believe I'm gonna free fall from the top of the world. Senses peaked with a crazy anticipation. Feeling like this, tell me how the hell can I be patient? Jumpsuit rig, Google helmet all in place. Double checking just in case. I'm elated, baby, freedom one green light away. And I just can't wait. Spread my wings, time to fly. One step out, all it takes for me to touch the sky. So amazing, it's so liberating. 12,000 feet, AGL, so breathtaking. Belly down, box me now. 4 minutes of pleasure without any spark of distraction around. State of mind, euphoria, wish could last forever. From this day on, nothing can stop us from getting back together.
I love the sky, baby. I love the sky, baby. I love the sky. Information identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency on ztalkradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. For the last 45 minutes or so, we have been talking to Beth Fontaine. I almost called you Karen, Beth. I don't know what the heck I was thinking. of Paradventures.
Love me.
I do, Karen. You're like my second wife. So
I am. I'm your on-the-air wife.
Yeah. So for the last 45 minutes, we've been talking to Beth Fontaine of Para Adventures, and we've been talking about paranormal tourism. And, you know, Beth, there is one thing that I wanted to cover, because I'm sure it's happened or it's going to happen. Sooner or later, you're going to come across a nerd like me. The dude that has been involved in this his entire life and tries to tell you how to run your business. Now, I wouldn't tell you how to run your business, because that's like really freaking rude and stuff. But how do you deal with somebody like yourself? Yeah, exactly. How do you deal with something like that? It's like, no, I really know what's going on here, and I'm going to show you how it's really done. I mean, have you had to deal with anything like that yet?
Not really to a big degree, but honestly, I always invite people to give me their ideas, because I feel like I can learn a lot from other people, because I am so new at doing this. And I mean, I'm always open to people's ideas. It doesn't mean I would always be able to utilize those ideas, but I'm definitely willing to listen and try to work them in somehow. So, I mean, I'm always open to that.
Yeah.
You're going to have any business.
So I'm curious as to, because there's so many aspects to running a business. So where and how are you marketing yourself with this? I'm taking notes for stealing it.
Mostly it's been a lot of word of mouth, because I do have some regulars that come on my trips. So that's been great. That was very unexpected for starting out when I did. I have a couple who has come on every single trip that I've had so far, and that's been like just amazing.
You have groupies.
I do. It's awesome. See,
and that's great, because you get that kind of return business, and then they take in, they're like, wow, Beth is like the greatest thing in the paranormal since Jason Hawes picked up a an EMF detector. So that's got to be like really great for you, because then they can just, you know, that word of mouth thing.
Oh, it really is. Like, one of my biggest helps in all of this is, his name is JC, and he is actually the person who is in charge of the Morrison Lodge in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Like, he is just, he's been amazing at just spreading the word, and I couldn't have been where I'm at if he hadn't helped me the way that he has.
Right.
And then other places, I mean, I do Facebook, sometimes Craigslist, I do local, you know, local papers, like I did City Beat Classifieds when I was in Cincinnati. And then here it's been kind of a challenge because I don't really know the market so much yet. So still working on that.
Sure. Well, I know that if you ever come here to Chicago, there's absolutely no shortage of haunted places. I mean, the foundation of our great city is basically, you know, booze, bullets, and babes. That's pretty much, it's pretty much our history from the start. But, basically, your business plan is for Paradventures is to take over the world.
Pretty much,
from what I understand. No, but I mean, it's like, you do plan on spreading out across our country, because I mean, you're looking for guides right now. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, how long do you think until you can actually get yourself all the way out to, say, where Karen is? I mean, do you envision like a big future for Paradventures?
Well, I definitely, I mean, one thing I will say is I've always been a dreamer. I mean, if I have a dream, I'll chase after it until it either takes off into something great, or until it just is like, okay, this really isn't going to be what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. With this, I've never really had any doubt. I think it's a great idea. I think that the people who have gone on my trips have had a great time. I've had a great time. I see really big things for it, but I am also realistic to where it's like I can kind of reel myself back in sometimes, because I'm like, oh, we could do this in outer space. All right. And I'm like, oh, wait, no. You know,
probably. Oh, my God. That would be the greatest thing in the world. You know, hey, you know what? You can add, like, have you ever thought about adding, cryptozoology, or, you know, taking people to places where allegedly Bigfoot or a
Well, see, that's in my monster. Neck of the woods.
Yeah,
see,
exactly.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. Like, usually if I do a trip that's like a weekend trip, I do look for things to do during the day. So, I mean, that might be something to check out during the day. And then after dinner, we go back and have the investigation at the location where we're spending the night or the weekend. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to that. And I know that sometimes people have, that there are groups that do that. So I wouldn't be even opposed to piggybacking with other companies in the future to kind of team up and do some things for my guests and their guests.
Right. Right.
See, now the other thing is that you can film these and do like little mini webisodes, and you could do all sorts of stuff with this.
I'm trying to work on that. I've never done anything like that yet because I'm so far behind the times when it comes to so I feel like I'm going to be like, if you guys have ever seen Talladega Nights, how Ricky Bobby is when he first wins that race and his hand is like, this is a room that has a ghost, I think.
So you're still using VHS then, I take it, right?
Actually, I've advanced past that at least. I'm at least there. DVD player.
Oh, well, see? No, you just take a little handheld camera and you get a little footage and cut it together and put it on your website.
There's an amusement park out here that has closed. It's been closed down for years. It was actually huge at one time. It's called Heritage USA. Very big, like Christian theme park that was owned by Jim and Tammy Faye Baker.
Then there's going to be no ghosts there, just really bad makeup and hair.
Well, it just was crazy. It was like obviously lots of corruption and things like that, why the park closed. But a friend of mine had told me about it, and we have been looking into more of the history and everything else. And we actually took a drive out there, and that will probably be one of the first ones that I use as like my experiment to try it. So I am looking into.
Oh, very cool. See, I thought you were going to say you were going to buy it and turn it into a paranormal theme park. And then there you have it, your Indiana Jones paranormal adventures ride. You've come full circle, folks.
The biggest idea in the end, like when I have guides in place and everything else, I mean, and I'm financially to a point where I could do it, I would love to actually buy a location and have my own trips there whilst still doing the guide trips too. And then, you know, that way I can kind of just stick to doing my location and have my guides doing other locations and traveling all over the place.
Right.
That's a ways down the road, though.
Yeah. That's a way down. I mean, you know what? I think we'd all love to be able to do this as, you know, more than just a hobby or more than just a passion. But, you know, as something that I don't want to say selling out. And or not even cashing in, but just, you know, making a decent living for yourself, even if on the side. Now, on your investigations, do you have like guidelines for your guests? I mean, obviously they're for the longest time, you know, going into a place and yelling at something that may or may not even be there made you look like a crazy person, but was incredibly popular on television. And by that, I mean provoking. Do you have any guidelines that you tell your guests that are like, hey, don't do this, but it's okay to do that?
I do. I definitely do. That's another thing they have to sign when they come is like the rules and regulations. It's like when you go on these trips, I take these very seriously. The other people who go on the trips take it very seriously. But every once in a while, it's like you may get someone who wants to play pranks on people because you're in a dark building. So it'd be fun to scare my friend. Well, right. No, that doesn't fly. If you do that and I catch you doing that, you will be kicked out. I don't allow provoking on trips. I don't do it personally, and I don't condone it, and I will never allow anyone to do it on my trips. And it's the same kind of thing. If I catch someone doing it, then I will ask them to leave, and they will not be allowed back on another trip.
Well, you know what? And there is a way to, you know, provoke rather than, you know, being complete and total jerk. And it's actually been shown on TV a couple times, and I'm a big believer in it, and I wish I would have, you know, marketed it myself, you know, 15 years ago, but it's called the Singapore Theory. Basically, what you do is you read headlines from a given era of time, or you play music, or you play, you know, broadcasts or whatever, and this is supposed to actually bring, to draw spirits in. It's provoking, but without being a dick, more or less. I mean, it may be something that you might want to, you know, to utilize if you really want your, you know, if you can really show that this place is haunted and you want your, you know, your guests to, you know, experience that kind of thing, it might not be a bad idea to do that. But there is one question that Karen and I, we do like to ask, and it's both something that it's something, the psychic question.
Oh, that you like to ask. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, okay. No, but I mean, you know, you're kind of interested in that as well.
Yeah, but I'm psychic, so I already know the answer.
Oh. Great. Can you tell me what horse is going to win next year? Yeah.
But, me too.
what is your, you know, stand on that? Because it's like, it's such an incredibly touchy thing right now, even though psychic ability has been a part of this since the beginning. And I don't mean 2004. I mean more like 1882. But what is your stand on psychics? Do you allow psychics to go on your trips? Do you employ psychics? What is your ideas concerning that?
I haven't really thought about it. I'm definitely, you know, I believe that it's possible. I've had a couple people who have done readings for me at one time or another that mm-hmm. were spot on, and then I've had some that were way left field. I mean, I think it's just like anything else. I think that some people say you have to kind of have a sixth sense to see paranormal things and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't know if I have anything like that or not, but I've definitely seen things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely open to it. And as far as hiring someone on to do it, that does it, I mean, yeah, I would hire somebody on that did it. I would have to see if they were, you know, seemingly like legitimate. It's not like Cleo, you know, from the phone.
Now it's funny that you say that, because recently I just heard, okay, for example, over in the United Kingdom, psychics, mediums, whatever, they actually have to go through like this certification process before they can, you know, start their own business or
and
whatever.
How on earth did Derek Acora ever get through it?
It was the hair and the earrings, man. No, he had really great PR. Do you think that that's something that should be done here in our country, that a person should have to go through some kind of like class? I just think of like Babylon 5 with, you know, with the psychics, and they belong to the Psy Corps, and, you know, they're like the Nazis of Babylon 5. But do you think that it's like, do you think that that's something that a psychic should have to go through if they claim to be one?
I mean, I understand the reasoning for doing it, absolutely, because you don't want to have anyone get ripped off by someone that's like that. But at the same token, who's to say whether what they're doing is, you know, just like getting certified or something like that. It's like, who's to say that those people are capable of certifying that the person with the abilities or whatever. It's kind of like the whole, it goes in a big circle. I mean, it's like, who are you to say whether this person is legit or not legit or whatever?
Right. Well, right. And I'm a big believer also in letting people spend their money on something that they find value in. And if they find value in Madame Cleo, well, I may feel that is ill-advised and not the greatest way to spend your money. You know, who am I to say what you should spend your money on or what you find value in?
Right. I totally agree.
Yeah. Well, this past weekend, we just a real close personal friend of ours, Nancy Laporta. I've talked about her a lot on this show in the past, and if she could levitate, she would be Dee Dee Holm. I mean, she is that amazing to me, and I've done everything in the world I possibly could to try and discredit her, but holy crap, I can't. No, I mean, it's like I've become, you know, a big believer in her ability, and I do believe that these people are real. I mean, she actually may have saved the life of one of our guests that night, and told her that she needs to go to the hospital and she needs to get blood work done, but she's not going to go there on her own. And sure enough, she wound up pulling a muscle in her neck, went to the doctor. The doctor was like, you need to have blood work done because something's wrong with you other than just a pulled muscle in your neck. So it's like, it's inconceivable to me when people are like, no, man, psychics, they have absolutely no place in the paranormal whatsoever. And it's just, it gets kind of old there. So it's really refreshing to hear you as a business owner and somebody that's in, you know, like the business side of it and the entertainment side of it, to say that I am not against it. So it's good to see that you get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It just comes to mind. I was just thinking of it. There's a little girl who I had just met recently, and her family, and she is, I mean, everyone that I know, they were all skeptics too, and they have all said great things about her. Her name is Cassidy Rae. And okay. Have you heard of her?
I actually have. I saw something on Facebook with Deb. I think her name is Deborah Lance. And they were having some kind of event or whatever, and she was going to be there.
I've met her. She seems like she's just normal little girl, you know, but I've heard so many great things about her, and her and her family are just, they're awesome.
Right. So apart from doing the tours and the overnight lockdowns and or whatever it is you want to call it.
I just said lockdown because I was being silly. I don't think they're actually lockdowns.
Yeah.
They're just,
no.
You can leave just overnight visits.
I won't make you stay.
It's not like the Hotel California where you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Yeah, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Do you see yourself doing... going beyond the just tour, you know, beyond just tours. Do you also see yourself doing events, conventions, you know, anything of that nature?
You know, it's so funny because I never realized that there were conventions and things like that until probably last year. actually, JC of the Morrison Lodge told me about one in Kentucky called Dead Winter. And that was my very first convention. So I actually have been going and setting up a couple tables. I think I've been to 3 small conventions already. And
that's part of a good marketing plan. I think that's a great way to drum up business.
Oh, yeah, a lot of fun.
Locations. Because I get a lot of, when we do the conventions, I get a lot of people who will come up and say, hey, here's this haunted place you really need to check out.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So as far as, you know, that would work for you too, I would think.
That would be fantastic.
you just had an event that you just returned from, correct?
I actually went to Miami Town for a small convention and then was invited to Creepfest at Post Town Elementary.
Yeah, now Creepfest, that's one of the bigger ones in our country, correct?
It's not one of the really big ones. I mean, it was a pretty good event. It was, I met a ton of people and it seemed like it picked up in the middle of the day, like as far as guests coming in.
What, in the middle of the day? So you mean that these conventions aren't done in the dark in the middle of the night?
The conventions
I'm
are not.
Thinking of television again, but no, it's just, with Miami Town, what is the significance of Miami Town? Because I was kind of reading a little bit about what you wrote. Now, this place where the convention was held, was this a haunted location?
I've heard that it is. It's actually the historical, I can't think of what the word is called, but it's the historical building that's there in Miami Town. And there's a friend of mine who does the Miami Town ghost tours out there. So he does the walks, and it was his trip, or his convention.
Oh,
okay.
And he's an author, so he had invited me to come. He has actually written a couple books about haunted places and stuff, too.
See, and that's what's so great is that you get to build these partnerships with people.
Oh, it's been awesome. I've met so many like-minded friends already, and I'm like, man, I've only been doing this for about 2 years and met some great people.
You know, I got to tell you, there is a certain element in the paranormal that are just amazing people. You're absolutely right. You know, there are some that I can kind of take or leave and that are there for fame or glory or because they're BS crazy or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, there's always that stuff too. But I have met some of the best people and made lifelong close friends as a result of participating in the paranormal. So
I have friends that I've met from places, I mean, people I haven't even met yet. Just because of Facebook, and like, there's this, there's a couple people who post places as soon as they find them, and they send them to me like, you got to check this place out. Like, there's a friend of mine in Idaho who sends me these places I never even would have heard of, and she just likes what I do, so she sends me all these places.
See, that's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. I love it. I'm like, you are so awesome. Thank you.
Well, you know, I have a friend who is in the chat room right now who is works in a haunted hotel in Portland, Oregon. Maybe you need to hook up with him and have a trip out here.
Rob St. Helen.
Yeah, he writes about it in our magazine.
That's cool. Yeah, tell him to add me on Facebook on the Para Adventures page.
He's hearing that right now, I bet, since he's in chat.
Well, hi there. I can't see the chat room. When I had it up, it was like super echo, so I was like, oh, crap.
So, you know, where do you see this going, you know, in the future? You know, 5 years down the line, do you see yourself taking over the world, or do you just see yourself being a small business owner?
I mean, I like to think that it's going to be huge.
Franchising. I see franchising in your future.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. I wouldn't be opposed to that in the future once it was established. Like, I want it to be, when people think of like a haunted trip or haunted vacation, I want them to think, oh, Para Adventures, that's what they do. I should look in to see what kind of trips they have going on. Because right now I can only do, since it's just been me and I have a friend that helps me with some of my trips, she and I have kind of been the ones doing this. It's like, it's kind of hard when it's like, I'm the one organizing the trip and getting the food together and everything else. And it's like, I can only do one of these every few months, as opposed to having like a revolving, okay, this trip is going on this week, this trip is going on here with this person. And, you know, once I have a bigger like staff on hand, I'll be able to have a revolving itinerary.
Yeah, I think the sky's the limit for you, to tell you the truth. It's just such a fantastic idea. And I know people have done things similar, but you're the first person I've heard who does this.
And you're not crazy.
Crazy. Well, my family thinks I'm crazy.
Are you kidding me?
You're going to what? The haunted place is in the dark?
My mom still thinks I'm
like
the devil.
I didn't hear that for years, so whatever.
Yeah, it's most definitely a great idea. And, you know, like I said, you get the tours in the cities, and, you know, with Karen, William, I mean, William Becker, we've had him on the show a few times, and he gives a great tour.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He gives good tour.
That'd be a great t-shirt.
I give good tour. and they're very popular. And this is, you know, I always joke, but it's true. This is our busy time of year. You know, I have something every weekend between now and like the second weekend in November, because everybody wants you around Halloween.
Yeah, that's been a challenge too, because especially with moving away, I haven't been able to really do anything for Halloween yet. So October, it's kind of been like, this would be the perfect month. And it's just been so busy in my personal life to where it's like, I haven't really got to do much for October as of yet, but I do have plans to do like a big, maybe even like incorporate a masquerade ball or something into an investigation again.
See, that's where you go to, like, you go someplace like a haunted inn somewhere, and you take over the whole inn, and then you have the masquerade ball, and you have the giant investigation or whatever you want to call it. That would be a really fun weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'd be counting down the days. I do for trips anyways, but for that, I'd be like, and I get to dress up as something cool.
So how often do you do the trips? How often are you away
from them? Now, it's kind of been probably about every 3 months. Yeah, that's probably about right. Every 3 months, because it is hard to, when I book these trips right now, it's usually I have to pay a deposit. And then I have to sell the trip out, and hopefully I sell enough tickets to sell the trip out. And then it's like, you know, if I make a profit on that trip, then I turn around and put it on the next trip and so on. It's like getting capital has been what's been kind of the tough part.
You're kind of a combination of like an event promoter and a travel agent and a paranormal investigator all in one.
It's because I rock.
You do. I know. I'm thinking, you know, okay, now how the next step is then that you invite a paracelebrity or two along. Then haunted cruises.
Somebody suggested that, actually. That's funny, because the thing is, to sell cruises, you actually have to be certified to sell cruises. And I've been looking into possibly doing something like that. But that's like down the road too, because to book a cruise, like to get enough of a block to block out the rooms on the ship, it's, oh my God, I'm like, that's definitely a big dream. So it's
So my friend Patty just sent you gold. She texted me. This is gold. Feel free to use it. She says you should do a period trip for an investigation. So, like, if you went to Gettysburg, everybody would have to also dress in Civil War garb the whole time that they're there.
I would think that would be fun. That'd
be awesome.
Yeah.
Gettysburg's on the list. It's just it's a little ways down because of the distance right now, but it's definitely on the list.
Sure. You know, you brought up something before when you were talking about booking events. Now, I know that places like Waverly Hills Sanitarium, which is, you know, allegedly one of the most haunted places in our country. And from what I understand, that the Mattinglys, they will charge you an arm and a leg just to walk into the place. do you find that these places that are well-known haunts that you book a place to, you know, for one of your events, I mean, do they sort of come off like, well, you know, we've been on television, so we're going to charge you. So have you come across anything like that yet?
Nobody has been rude, but they definitely charge way more. Like, I would love to do Waverly, but it is so expensive. I can't justify.
No, it's a little prohibitive.
Well, yeah, because I have to make a profit too. And when I'm paying for food and things like that, a place like that, I would probably, I mean, it, oh gosh, like I try to charge for an overnight, usually around $50, unless it costs me, you know, a lot. And then for like a weekend trip with food included, then that's usually about $150. Right. So, I mean, to me, it's like if I do a place like Waverly for what they charge me, I would have to charge $150 just for one night.
Right.
Instead of like the whole weekend. And it's like right now I can't justify doing that because it's like, I mean, if I had enough people that came to me saying, I don't care, I'd pay that for Waverly Hills, then I would do it. But I can't personally justify having someone spend that much on one of my trips right now. Like, that's just, it's only one night. I'm like, no, that's expensive.
Right. And now, do you do a considerable amount of research? Because there are a lot of places that would love to have something like what you got going on that are off the beaten path. You know, places
that's the
that,
places I'm looking for. I'm trying to get more places like that coming to me.
Right. Right. I mean, you get places that everybody's heard of course, that every television show has done, and, you know, a place that has been done to death. Personally, if I was a ghost at Waverly Hills Sanitarium or Eastern State Penitentiary, I would just sort of sit back and be like, you know what, man, I'm on vacation. I don't feel like telling you what my name is or who was president, and I don't feel like making my presence known. You know, I mean, one of these days, these ghosts are just, especially if they're the apparition sort of haunting where they're intelligent, they're just going to like form a union and they'll be like, no, we don't want to deal with you people.
I've seen it
start
happen.
Picketing.
Yeah,
I've seen it happen in places that have had events during the day, and when it comes evening, you know, the last group's going through or whatever, they just shut down.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten that at a few places, and I was actually very fortunate because I got to go to the Sedamsville Rectory before it had ever been on TV. It was like when they first started doing this, and it was perfect. It was like the perfect first trip. I loved it. I love those guys that run it. I mean, they are awesome people. So I was like, awesome all around. But now it's like they're on TV and things like that. So it's like, well, I hope that they don't, you know, I hope that eventually I'll still be able to get down there and it won't end up costing more than what it already, you know, what it already costs.
Right. Yeah. And that's unfortunate for, I think just in the field in general, it's like, I remember there was a time where we, you know, used to be able to go to a place like in Chicago here, for example. We have Hull House, which is on the southwest side of the city, which is, you know, the devil baby of Hull House, and there's, you know, other spirits that allegedly haunt this place. And now, because of all the popularity concerning it, they don't even, if you even try to call them, they will say, don't ever call here again. We don't want to have anything to do with you. And that's the problem that we run into these days. It's like they don't let us into these places anymore. Have you come across anything like that?
Absolutely. Oh, it's not that they don't let me in. It's just I try to explain to them what I'm doing. And a lot of these places charge a per person rate. And they still charge me being the person bringing everyone. And it's kind of, it's like, look, I'm bringing you a group of 10 people who have never been here, who have always wanted to come here, and it's like you're charging me in addition to that, and I can't afford to bring all these people here if I'm going to be charged all the time too.
Sure.
So, and it's like they don't care that this is what I do. Like, I won't say the place, but it was a very big place, and it was when I was first getting started, so I didn't know what to expect. And it kind of was that case. I called them, and they were just basically like, well, we don't care. You have to pay, too. We don't care what you do. And I was like, wow, all right, okay, so
that's see, good. And that's incredibly egotistical, because you could have these places where you're charging an arm and a leg for people to come in and, you know, to see your ghosts. And personally, I'm going to be honest with you about something. Whenever you have a restaurant or an inn or a hotel or a business of some kind, and you're like, I'm haunted – or personally, me, I'm incredibly skeptical, and I'm not the most skeptical person in the world, but it's kind of funny because ghosts are huge for businesses right now.
You're skeptical of places with gift shops is what you're saying.
Exactly. I mean, how scary can a place be when there's a gift shop downstairs with selling, you know, ghost bobblehead dolls? How scary can it possibly be?
I have a gift shop in my house.
are there ghost bobblehead dolls?
No, just Fibbick boxes.
You're okay then,
yeah.
All right, okay. But I was thinking I might try and find some, because that might be kind of cool.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I'm like incredibly skeptical about a lot of these places, because it's so great for business right now for your place to be haunted. Like there was an episode of Ghost Hunters that I did watch, and you know, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I did watch it. Moss Beach Distillery, where it's like they go into this place and they actually discover this elaborate setup they have to just hoax the hell out.
No, you need to ask Lloyd Auerbach about that.
See now, and that's just the thing too. You got guys like Lloyd Auerbach who, you know, they're kind of like a god to the rest of us ghost nerds out there that take this thing seriously.
Well, according to Lloyd, they knew, the Ghost Hunters guys knew that going in, that those things were there.
Right.
And then they just pretended that they discovered them.
Well, that's, I know, that's incredibly disingenuous, I think.
But that's, I mean, that's what I recall happening after that. Just so you know. I haven't talked to Lloyd in quite a while, you know, since the last time you did, other than a couple of emails here and there. But Yeah, as I recall, he was really unhappy with the way that was handled.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, you know, you kind of got to be careful when you go into these places, because places will actually try and hoax you.
Exactly. Like, that's one of my things with doing the guide trips. Like, my first year of doing this with guides, and they suggest places, I have to physically go to the place first before I'm going to take a group there, because I don't want to put, you know, my reputation on the line is doing this. It's like, if I do go to a place and then it turns out that it's a hoax, it's like, that looks bad to me too.
Yeah, but you can't guarantee any place you go is haunted. I mean, even the most famous, you know, you can't guarantee that Waverly Hills is haunted in spite of all this stuff that there's Sloss Furnaces or any of those places. And not only that, sometimes you can go and it's not 24/7 of activity. Sometimes you go to a really haunted place and not a darn thing happens. And
I agree.
What can you do?
I still want to go to the place just to experience it for myself, because if it's something where, for one, if it turns out to be like, you know, how I was saying, a lot of steps or a lot of this or a lot of that, then there may not be certain people that would be a good trip for.
Absolutely. No, I think it's a great idea. But at the same time, you can never guarantee that people are going to experience something on a trip.
Oh, right. Right. And that's go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, that's sort of the nature of the beast.
That's why we kind of focus on the history as well. So I feel like you're still getting something out of it. You still get to meet people who are looking for the same type of things that you are. And I usually bring all kinds of awesome junk food, so.
See, there you go. So now, can you, if people want to learn more about you and your tours and all of that, can you give out website, Facebook information like that, please?
Definitely. My website, it's just like it sounds. It's just paraadventures.com. It's all one word with the two A's. The site is actually, I still need to do some work on the site. I mean, it's a functioning site, and it does have my guide intro trip on there. Have some blogs, that kind of thing, but I'm probably going to redesign it soon. Facebook is probably the best, because I can get the easiest access to that. So you could do a search on Facebook for Para Adventures, or it's just the facebook.com/ghost.hunts, and that will bring up the page too. And you're free to add me as a friend if you like. I like friends.
Who doesn't?
I hate them.
Other people just suck, but...
No, don't add me as a friend.
Well, so I promise I won't steal your idea, but I really, really am enamored of it. I think it's a wonderful idea. I think I think it's fantastic that you have found something that you love so much that you can be so excited about. And you know what? That you can make a little bit of money doing, too.
Oh, it's awesome. I feel fortunate that it's like sometimes we go through some hardships and it's kind of like at the time you don't understand why you go through them. But, you know, it's like I look at it and I'm like, if this is what the outcome was, then that's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I think it's really fantastic. And I've really actually enjoyed talking to you about it and learning about what you do. And I have to tell you this, your enthusiasm for what you do really comes through when you speak.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
Not done.
I was just gonna say you're not a jaded and vet like Karen and I just yet. So.
No, I'm just a big old goofy girl. I'm a dork.
Hey, well, so are we. We're dorks too. So there you go.
I freely admit I'm a nerd, so it's all good.
I think you have to admit you're a nerd to be any kind of cool nowadays.
Yeah.
That's true. Nerds are totally in. And it's awesome because I married my nerd before nerds were in. So there you go. All right. Well, so, Beth, thank you so much for coming on. And
yes, thank you, Beth.
I hope that people will go to your website and check it out and see if you've got some tours that look exciting to them. And also, she's looking for guides, folks. So get in touch.
Definitely. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you being on or having me on.
Is this your radio show? No. Okay, I'm going to hang up.
I know. I'm like, what?
Okay, thank you so much, Beth. So
it was fun, Beth.
She's the owner and operator of Para Adventures. Check her out. It's paraadventures.com.
Thank you for listening, guys. Yeah.
So, Rick, what a good idea. Steal it.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm stealing it right now. I've written down I've written down her whole business plan. So
did you notice all the sneaky business questions I was asking?
I will find you both and I will, it might be short, but I can kick some shins pretty good. So,
okay. Well, just remember I carry a gun. No, I actually don't.
No, she does. She packs heat.
I pack heat when I'm out hiking.
See, now I'm prepared. You told me so.
Well, that's true. But I'm a ninja.
Oh, well, then I'm screwed.
Yeah, I'm a ninja. You just never know. So, Rick, I wanted to talk real quickly about a few things coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we've talked about, I have the Fibic box here at my house, which is the faux Dybbuk box. And for everybody who's listening and screaming now, she is mocking the box. I most certainly am not. What did I say it was? I was word. I'm just combining words. I'm efficiently combining words.
Right.
That's
scary as hell. But
I do have a Fibic box here at my house because next weekend, which is October 20th, I will be participating in the Port Gamble Ghost Conference. Our good friend William Becker will also be speaking. We're both speaking on Saturday. I think I speak at like either 9:15 or 10:15. I speak really early. I'm going to be talking about the Dybbuk box. And so the Fibic box is my visual aid. I'm really excited about that. And you can just Google search for Port Gamble Ghost Conference if you live in Washington or Western Oregon and you really would like to go and hear some of the great speakers because they always do such a good idea and participate also in investigations of the lovely historic town of Port Gamble, which is incredibly haunted, then I highly recommend that you check out the Port Gamble Ghost Conference. There's a little bit of a fee, but it is well worth it. And if you do come, stop and say hi.
I may be hopping a plane.
See, there you go. And so I wanted to mention that. So that's next weekend. And then Cheryl, is there a new issue of the magazine out?
Yes, there is. By the way, I just have to tell you, Elaine in chat says that it is indeed mocking.
You know, Elaine just needs...
Thank you, Elaine.
Like, no, you know what it is? She is concerned because she and I are going to be spending Saturday together. And she's afraid that that might be bad juju associated, and I am here to tell you there is not.
Okay.
I am not mocking Fibic box.
We'll hear back from Elaine after next week.
I'm sitting here I can barely speak. I can't hear. I feel like my ears are going to explode because my head is so full of congestion. I have a kidney stone. I was in the emergency room yesterday morning, and I have conjunctivitis. I don't think that the Fibic box has anything to do with any of that.
Probably not.
Alrighty then.
So
yes, there's a new issue online. It's mm-hmm. online. Readers can get it for free at this point in time on paranormalunderground.net. And in this issue, we have a lot of great articles. We featured Extreme Ghost Huntings, Paul Green and Stephen Lambert, who we previously had on the radio show, and they were great to talk to. They mm-hmm. also run an event group in the UK. So it's sort of like what Beth does. They go to extremely haunted locations and take people in for a tour and investigations.
I think that, she's going to have to fight them to the death if she ever wants to get over to England.
Who knows? Maybe they can team up. You never know.
Hey, yeah. Steel cage death
yeah.
match.
Yeah. But I also... Go ahead, Karen.
That's all.
Steel cage match. Woo! We also have a great article on the 8 spookiest roads you'll ever travel. Rick has a great article, and if he wants to talk about it, that would be good. It's called Terror at Grass Lake. It's dealing with one of my favorite paranormal subjects, UFO and high strangeness phenomenon. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's one of those kind of things that's sort of a footnote in, the history of the paranormal, ufology, and even high strangeness, for example, which is something I don't understand, because what happened on the outskirts of Antioch, Illinois, which is maybe 20 minutes from where I live, was quite possibly one of the most terrifying situations of high strangeness that has ever happened. Over a period of about 3 years, people were experiencing poltergeists, bizarre creatures, and all of this started because a couple people had seen some orange lights in the sky. Mm-hmm. Well, shortly after they saw these orange lights in the sky that they believed were UFOs, people started to have what seemed like poltergeist type activity that began in their home. They started seeing apparitions in their home. People had claimed that they were being attacked by invisible creatures, and the gentleman that was the main investigator on this, he will sound familiar to a lot of you, Dennis William Houck, and he actually left this investigation with his entire life being changed. And unfortunately, a lot of what these people experienced had a very negative effect on their life in the long run. Many people had financial difficulties, as well as some people needing to be checked into insane asylums because of it.
Wow.
Whatever it is that happened was very real, and I don't understand why it's such a footnote in paranormal history, because it's one of those events that happened for a very long time and was incredibly terrifying. And a lot of people outside of northern Illinois may have never even heard of this. So I would suggest to read this, and you can find a little bit more information on Dennis William mm-hmm. Houck's website concerning it. Definitely
but first
one of the things
that
fascinated
me.
Yeah, absolutely. First, read the magazine and the article, because, or in the magazine, I wrote it, and it's a great magazine. So, but definitely one of those situations that you leave thinking to yourself, it's like, wow, what the F was that all about? And that's what these people experienced back in the 1970s in Grass Lake, Illinois.
Yeah, I think you gave a great summary in the article, and it really captured kind of the chaos that was going on during that time. So,
right.
Amazing.
Yeah, we also have a recurring article in the magazine from our good friend Rob St. Helen of West Coast Ghost Hunters, Tales from the Haunted Heathman Hotel, where he works.
West Coast Ghost Hunters and South Sound Paranormal Research. Just thought I'd add that.
Ooh, we need to add that to his bio. I don't have that on there. So thanks to Rob for continuing to fill us in on some of the interesting things. The latest thing, you'll have to go read about it in the magazine. I won't talk about it too much, but he encountered a shadow person in one of the rooms that kind of followed him around. So it was kind of spooky stuff.
Yeah.
We have another personal experiences article from Jack Kenna, who was on the show last week. He's from Spirits of New England, and he's talking about, it's part 3 in his personal experience, Ghost Hunter's Case File, The Paranormal Nights of Sunny San Diego. interesting mm-hmm. stuff that they captured there. And then Josie Varga, we have also talked to her in the past about her research and her books that she's written about communications and communications with the afterlife and near-death experiences. And in this excerpt from her book, it's called A Text Message from Heaven. I can't even begin to tell you what it's about, but it's about this woman's deceased loved one.
I can't even begin to tell you what it's about, but
and then I start
telling.
But it's just amazing. You have to read it. You have to read it. I can't really do it justice at all, but I really recommend that article for sure. And Karen, you yes. wrote something too, and it kind of relates to our guest in a way, because a lot of people have critical things to say about people in the paranormal who make money. And you kind of addressed that in your guest editorial.
Was I snotty?
No. No, but you did say snark away haters in the title.
Oh, yeah, it was called snark away. Yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that.
So, you know, it's just, you know, you were basically saying what? Don't assume that someone who's actually has a business that is related to the paranormal is doing something wrong.
Yeah, don't jump on the bandwagon. And it's like what I said earlier, is that who are we to say what other people find value in?
Exactly.
And if I find value in giving somebody money and, you know, getting, mm-hmm. I don't know, blades of grass, and that's what I find value in, you may think I'm a moron, but
hey, if it makes you happy,
right to do that. That's right.
Do it.
That's right.
As long as it's not illegal, but you know what I mean.
That's right. If it makes you happy, do it.
Just saying. Right.
Just saying. Yeah, I totally take tours. I like them. I'll pay for them. I have no problems with that whatsoever.
Nope.
I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'm starting to come around to it, so.
And even if it has a gift shop, who cares?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like I said, I'm not selling out and I'm not cashing in, but, you know, I think there is definitely some merit in it.
If you feel that that's your level of integrity and that you do this and you don't want to cash in on it, then that's okay too. But I don't think it's actually cashing in.
No, I don't either.
I'm a writer, and writing is my passion. Mm-hmm. And so does that mean I shouldn't make money for my writing? Because I totally do.
Oh, yeah, you totally do. Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
there's nothing wrong with it.
That's right. So you can make money from your art if art is your passion. You can make money from, you know, find what you love and find a way to give it to people in a way that it has genuine value. Right. Now, if I know that I'm out there screwing you over, that's different.
Yeah, karma's going to take over, and it's going to bitch slap that you won't believe.
Yep. So, also, Cheryl,
yeah,
I wanted to talk real quickly about my book.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do that.
So we have a couple things that have come out with the book, and I know we've mentioned it a few times, mm-hmm. but we just released a second version of the printed copy of the book. It's got some new photos in it. Mm-hmm. It's got a little short update about what's happened just this year, because there's this whole huge story about Wellington that I have never told, and that's not in there. and mainly because Cheryl and I have talked about this, I'm not sure how I'm going to tell the story yet, because it's a pretty amazing story. But the new book does have a little bit more. It's not a new book. The new version of the book has a little bit more in it, mm-hmm. and it's also got a new reduced price.
Yeah, it's got about 30 pages of extra content. Like you said, there's extra photos. There's a little bit more text. There's the afterword update. And it's now only $9.99.
Right. And
get
then
it now.
The other thing we have is that if you don't want to spend $9.99 on a book and you have an iPad, we also have the iBooks version. I'm sorry, my voice is going. Can you tell?
Yeah.
We also have the iBooks version, and it's an enhanced version. Cheryl, can you talk about that? Because I'm losing my voice.
Yeah. You did a really good job of setting that up, Karen. There's an enhanced version that includes audio, video, photos. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interactivity. Yeah.
Wow, cool.
And it's very cool. And I highly recommend it because it's a truly interactive experience. And it's just a whole new way to publish books, in my opinion, and I think it's going to be a big thing
I do too, and it's $2.99. It's in the iBookstore. Yeah. If you have an iPad, go to the iBookstore. You can download it. $2.99. That's crazy.
Yeah,
you get
it
all
is.
Of that for $2.99.
Yeah, $2.99. $2.99.
Also, we have
there's more.
Also, we have Kindle version. Unfortunately, we haven't updated that to reflect the new changes that we just told you about for the printed version or the.
And we can't make it an enhanced.
Right. Mm. Yeah. So
but we haven't been able to yet.
But there is a Kindle version existing of the original version of Karen's book for $2.99, or is it $3.99? No, it's $2.99. Yeah. So
we really wanted to make this. We understand that this is a trying time financially for people.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people who have said, you know, I'd really like to be able to read your book, but boy, you know, $12.99 is a little expensive. We've tried to do everything that we can so that it's accessible and affordable to people because, you know, Cheryl and Chad and I long ago decided we weren't really going to make a lot of money on this. And what my goal has always been is to tell this amazing story about this place, Wellington. And, mm-hmm. I really recommend, you know, getting one of these cheap versions of the book because it's a great way to read it. And
it's a great story. And
and it's so there's so much more to the story that I haven't figured out how to tell yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah. Good. Yay. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all you I know, can say is Cheryl knows that it's really cool because I've told her the whole thing.
It is really cool. Take my word for it.
Yeah. No, what were you going to say, Rick?
I was just going to say, you know, it's a really good book. Jamie, my wife, read it, and, you know, she's incredibly skeptical concerning this, and she really enjoyed the book. I thought it was a great book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So, like I say, we've got all these ways that we can do it where it's really, really inexpensive for you right now to download it. You know, the other thing at some point we may be able to do is even just come up with a straight-up PDF version that you can read on your computer and, you know, you download it. We just have to figure out the mechanism of mm-hmm. of how you do that.
Right.
Sure.
So
yep.
Anyway, is there anything else?
Yeah, we were talking before the start of the show that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Oh, I knew that there was a reason we stopped early, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My medication is all wearing off, and I'm starting to get a little...
Oh, no, it's all right. But, you know, with both of us, we both have people in our lives who've been affected by this. My mom is a 21-year survivor of breast cancer, and
my sister will be 5 years this year, and that's a really big hurdle to clear.
Yeah, but we were talking about it that after 5 years, you're pretty much, you know, you're out of the woods.
You're considered cured.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, considered cure. But unfortunately, though, some women don't get to it in time. And even some men can also get breast cancer as well. My grandmother, for example, who died at a very young age, my grandmother was Native American and she was from the Deep South. So when a white doctor tells you you're okay, you listen to that doctor. And, you know, unfortunately, she did and it took her life.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and so what I would encourage is a couple of things. First of all, women need to do breast self-exams and get mammograms. And yes. I honestly don't know what the recommendations for men are because I'm not a man.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
I went through the test to see if I did carry the gene because it is caused by that. And fortunately, I don't carry the gene, even though my grandmother passed away from it and my mom had it. So
there you go.
I seem to be okay.
So that, and the other thing is, and this is a little different tack, and this is kind of my own political thing, so I hope that you'll just sort of bear with me for a minute. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of organizations that use breast cancer patients and breast cancer survivors as a marketing message. And they put a pink ribbon on a product, and they tell you that they're going to give proceeds. It's called pink washing, that they're going to give proceeds to breast cancer. And it could be, you could buy, you know, a $500 vacuum that has a pink ribbon on it, and they might be giving 2 cents per product up to $1,000. So, and there are other products that put a pink ribbon on their product, yet those products contain ingredients that contribute to various cancers, including breast cancer. And so there's a really great website that you can go to. It's called Breast Cancer Action. If you look up pink washing, Breast Cancer Action is the first thing that comes up. It gives you some great steps for learning where your money goes and really giving it to places where they contribute to breast cancer research in a very meaningful way. So I wanted to mention that. And you know what? It is almost 8 o'clock. We got to get off the air. Yeah. So stick around for, is Fox City's coming up, Cheryl?
Yeah, Fox City, if you're listening live, Fox City's Paranormal Radio is coming up next with guest Keith Johnson. Thank you, Beth Fontaine from Paradventures. And next week, join us again on Paranormal Underground Radio with cryptozoologist and author Jody Cook.
Excellent. Okay, so next week, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states, is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a good night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.